Boy, oh boy, you guys, you pick songs like that before I'm supposed to preach, and you expect me not to go 2, 3, 4 hours, you know? It's just amazing. I would say this, sometimes, you know, services do go a little over, and I don't want them to, but they do, and I would just say, anybody here willing to give me 5 minutes, an extra, if we need that, 5 minutes, anybody raise your hand? Okay, I just counted 20 hands, 20 times 5, how much is, 100 minutes over would be just fine, wouldn't it? Just add them all together. Oh, okay, you didn't know that was going there, did you? I knew that you didn't, so. We're continuing on in this little series about getting smart, doing things God's way. And I was reminded of a little story. Jesus, it's not a little story, it's a long story. Jesus standing on the low ground, looking up on this massive hillside / mountain from where he gave the Sermon on the Mount, the Sea of Galilee behind him. And this is what he said. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, some versions say rust, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin, I love that word, do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Don't store up stuff in places that are not worthy of holding on to the stuff God puts into your life. don't even think that matters. It's interesting, the one with a very, very eternal perspective says those words to us. The one who was involved in creation says those words. I see the big picture. Come on, y'all, you're storing where it really isn't very helpful to story. I got to say, there are a few topics of conversation that can go nuclear quite as quick as the topic of money. I mean, you talk about religion, things are going to go crazy. You talk about health, things are going to go crazy. You talk about politics, things could go. You mentioned the word Donald Trump, there could be all sorts of discussion going on around you. That is not an endorsement or a slap. Either way, you talk about death and things are bad. You know, there's some topics you just don't talk to. Wells Fargo did a survey trying to discover what topic is the one most that people don't want to talk about. Number one is money. Does that surprise you? We'll talk about anything. Anything but money. Chris Talbert wrote a book, The Last Taboo, and he says the last taboo is money. You know, we can talk about anything. It was kind of interesting. Shock Jock Howard Stern's. Anybody know who that is? Anybody? You do? Oh, I was hoping he hadn't polluted the airwaves around here. He decided a number of years ago that he was going to run to be the governor of the state of New York. That was back in 1994. Here's a guy who has been fined $1.5 million by the FCC for all the lewd and disgusting and rotten things he has done on the radio, those things he said which he shouldn't say, those things that would make it so you absolutely wouldn't want anyone you loved to listen to the guy. And he goes to run for governor for the state of New York, and the first thing he discovers is that he would have to give a complete financial disclosure. He withdrew his name from running. He said that was just far too personal to talk about money. He would say anything, but that one was too personal. And yet, our anxiety aside, the Bible is not anxious with a conversation. 270 times it talks about prayer. You know, 370 times it talks about loving those around us. We do need to be reminded of that. 2,000 times it talks about how we deal with the stuff of our life. And that's because it is so important, and we we just mess it up all the time. The Bible isn't shy when it comes to issues like that. It creates problems, this thing called money. My wife and I have had more than one discussion over the topic. Have you ever had a marital discussion? In fact, yes. Have you ever looked like that in the middle of a discussion on finances? I got to tell you, I have not. They look really good. You know? But it creates conflict. If you want to know the basics of the book of Proverbs, John Wesley, I think, summed it up pretty well. The 18th century preacher, founder of Methodism, who undoubtedly wrote much of this book that I just read. He said simply, earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. And I think he would probably add, and not necessarily in that order. Earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. And most people don't want to hear about the topic. But if you're going to live to be happy, you got to live to deal with five quick little things. The first thing is, if you want to deal with money according to God's plan, you got to keep track. Have you ever had a time where you thought you had money in your wallet only to open it up and discover you did not? And you say, where did that $20 bill go? My spouse must have lifted it from... Anybody ever thought that? Of course you have. Only to discuss it with your spouse and say, honey, by chance, did you happen to borrow the $20 bill from my wallet? Just curious. And her to say, well, honey, remember, you bought $10 worth of gas and you decided that we would stop at such and such a place and get coffee and you did this and you did that, and that, then it goes off in your brain. Oh, yeah. Ever had that? The old, yeah? You know? You got to keep track. It's interesting, when I first began to really keep track of money in my own life, I found an expenditure that continued to repeat itself again and again and again, and it was $8 each time. It was $8 each time we stopped at Big B to get coffee and hot chocolate. Now, the coffee was $2. Her hot chocolate was 5.5. It's good stuff, But as I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, $8. And you stop 3 times a week, that's $24 a week, times 52. Any of you math people? Exactly right. In fact, it is so stinking much money, I could probably go watch the Detroit Tigers, the Detroit Lions, the Detroit Red Wings, and the Detroit Pistons all lose athletic events with that same amount of money. I mean, I probably could, you know. Or I could say to my family, let's get all together and I'll take you out for a dinner, you know. And Solomon says in Proverbs 27, be sure to check the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever. Flocks were of great value. Keep track of what you've got. Keep track. You know, a lot of times we don't even know. And sometimes we don't know where we're at and we're just stressed out. And Solomon says in Proverbs 13:16, every prudent person acts out of knowledge. You need to know where you're at a given moment. My wife used to be so stressed out about money. Holy cow, she was raised. They never had any money. Never. You know? I think she received an IOU at a birthday once. You know? And she would always be stressed out for money, and I could never get her to talk about it. And she always thought, we don't have any, and I couldn't get her to look. And it just made her all the more anxious. And then once she finally looked, it wasn't quite so scary. Keeping track is a helpful thing. One day, I will be executor for my mother's estate. I trust that I might outlive her. If I don't, then I won't. But I hope it's a long time from now, but I'm thankful she keeps track. I know right where to go to find everything, you know. It is amazing to me how many funerals I have done over the years where the guy suddenly dies and the woman doesn't even know what they own. You know, he's got four houses over there he's been renting out. Didn't even know. Isn't that amazing? And, you know, keeping track is not a bad thing. Second thing we need to do is we need to plan ahead. We need to decide what we want to do with money and begin to make plans for it. We have to do it ahead. You know, I'm a short-term pessimist sometimes and a long-term optimist. I don't know if any of you are there. So on the short term, I think, oh, honey, this is a bad week. We're going to be broke. In the end, we'll be just dandy. We'll be just... I think God would say you ought to be optimistic all the time. But we need to plan ahead. We need to decide what we want to do with money. You know, you need to plan for retirement and college tuition and purchasing a home, maintaining repairs, dealing with dental expenses, and Christmas and birthdays and so on. By the way, Christmas is going to be this year, December 25th. I'm just telling you. So it might be good to think about that now. Christmas is not an emergency. The only way you have a good time at Christmas is if you're not getting in debt for it. The plans, Solomon says, of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. He could be saying, think about what you're doing. Have you ever pulled the trigger on something too fast and think, man, that was a big waste of... I think we all have, if we're honest. And so plan ahead. That would be this word that some of us are very, very reluctant to say. It is the word... I'm having trouble saying it. It is the word budget. Let's everybody say that together. You can help me. I like to call it a plan, even better. It just seems better. You can read about it from such Christian leaders as Larry Burkett or Dave Ramsey or lots of people like that. They can help you. You can even listen to Dave on the radio, you know. If you're going to plan ahead, there's something that is necessary. And you know what it is? Work. It's okay to work. It's okay to work and work hard so that you have what you need. This is my favorite verse, which is why one of my favorite. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. I told the office staff about that verse, and they said, that's not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say sluggard. Oh, yes, it does. And so I decided I had to find a way to throw that into the message. Part of planning ahead is work. You know, it'd be nice if you get up in the morning and say, thank God it's Monday. Third thing we ought to do is save consistently. A little change, just a little change, added up over many, many years, becomes a pile. Becomes a pile. I had an uncle, it was my grandfather's brother. He was the youngest of like 10 siblings, I guess. And he took care of his parents. He lived in the family farm. He in fact, farmed it. And because he took care of his parents, it was given to him. And he always seemed like he was very, very poor. He always worked a lot. And it always seemed like he was in trouble. And you could see through his truck, if you know what I'm saying. How many of you ever had a see-through vehicle? And he was a little bit of a rascal. And when he died, not only did the 200 acres of original family homestead end up being given to the Audubon Society as opposed to anybody in the family, but we all thought he was broke. And both he and his wife lived in nursing homes for many, many, many years. They didn't have kids. They had dementia, you know, and they paid for that as they went. And when he died, he gave the Audubon Society a little tip to help them with the land, $800,000 from this guy who was broke. Perplexing. a little at a time. That's how he did it, you know. He who gathers money little by little makes it grow, you know. And then it says in Proverbs 21, verse 20, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish person devours all he has. Do I save a little choice food and oil for tomorrow? What's he talking about, oil? Oil was actually almost currency in those days. It was almost like having cash. Solomon also says, a wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. Whatever he gets. You know? You might say, I wish I could save, but I can't afford it. I got to pay the bills. I got to do this. I got to do that. You know? There are emergencies. There are times you can't save. There are crises you just got to stop. And if you've saved, you got a little fund to draw from in that crisis, you know. But there are times it's okay to stop. Fourth thing is, you want to be financially, you want to do money God's ways, you need to eliminate debt. Debt is paying for yesterday today. When you go on vacation on Visa, I want you to know it's like the vacation that never ends. My wife and I did that when our kids were little. The vacation went on and on and on and on and on, or at least paying for it. I'm not going to ask you if you ever did that because you're smarter than I am, right? Of course you are. Yeah, but it just goes on. The book of Proverbs is very plain. The borrower is slave to the lender. A number of years ago, we went to Jamestown. Ever been to Jamestown? New York, the original colony. And we discovered that many of the people who ended up in Jamestown were poor people who got a ride on the boat, and for the ride on the boat, they had to give free labor for 7 years. Indentured servants. The borrower is slave to the lender. If there's too much debt in your life, you are enslaved to who you owe. I owe, so off to work I go, right? You know? Some people think debt is the solution. It is the problem. So many times, it is the problem. We think it's a tool. It's not a tool. There is one debt that is good. It's good debt. I hope you will remember this. The Apostle Paul says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love each other. I am indebted to you. I owe you love. That's the debt. Other than that, I need to pay my bills. You know, if I ever look at you in a funny way, if ever it seems like I give you the look. I gave my wife the look the other night when she did some dirty move in the middle of a card game and just squished me like a bug. I gave her the look. But if you ever see that look, you can just remind me, you owe me love, Pastor. Come on. You know? Can I remind you of that too? Would that be okay? You know? If you can't afford it, don't buy it. That's the thing about debt. And I will admit, doing without is fun. I just want stuff sometimes. If you were around the church over the last 6 months, you saw, if you were in the back of the church, you saw a big trailer back there, if you were back there. And that big trailer, we put in all kinds of construction stuff and stored stuff out of the way. It was great to have that. It was like a shed on wheels. And that big trailer belonged to my older brother, and he decided I could store it for him. And I thought, this is a good opportunity. Last week he called and said, well, I think it's time for me to sell the trailer. And I said, so what do you want for it? He says, I want $2,000. And I wanted that trailer. It's handy. Good for the church. And you know what? I just had to say no. Do you ever have to say no to your want? I mean, it's okay. Fifth thing is, we need to give habitually. Make it our habit. People have a tendency to give only when it is easy. When things get tight, often God is cut out first. And that's a bad habit because it says I am not thankful for the things God has put in my life, and it also says I don't trust God to take care of me to get me through this rough patch. God is cut out first. I heard someone say years ago, if I'm going to be broke, I would rather be broke with God's blessing than be broke without God's blessing. Let God be first, because it shows gratitude. Scripture says very clearly in Proverbs, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. If we break down the teaching, it is really a very clear teaching. We are to give the tithe to him. When I was first a pastor, there was this woman in our church. Her name was Blanche. She was about 178 years old, and she was really outspoken. And this pastor would be like, oh no, Blanche is standing up again. And I remember there was some discussion from the treasurer, things were a little bit tight, and Blanche stood up and looked at everybody and said, if you all would give your tithe, we wouldn't have a problem in the world. And I'm like, wanting to crawl. I'm thinking, what if it's somebody's first Sunday? This is awful. This is awful. But you know what? She was right. There wouldn't be a problem. You know, I love what Solomon also says, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Or Proverbs 11, you don't even have that on the screen or in your notes. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will be refreshed. The first step in taking control of financing is trusting God with it. I trust you, God. I'm going to give you the first part. Give me wisdom to do with the rest, because without your wisdom, might as well not have any anyway, you know, because I'm going to blow it, you know. Do I trust God? It starts with the tithe. Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves. Do not store up for yourselves. I read this a minute ago. Treasures on earth where moth and vermin, we have vermin in our yard, destroy. And where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Be careful. I think what Jesus is saying is you ought to maximize your treasure in heaven. That's where your treasure needs to be. Honestly, you can't take it with you. I've known people who have tried. I heard about the miserly, difficult millionaire who said to his wife, I'm taking it with me. I want all my money buried with me in the casket. You never argue with people who are dying. And so she said, okay. And she buried all his money in the casket. Well, actually, she wrote out a check to him for the value of all his money, buried it in the casket. Wonder if he ever cashed that little rascal. You know? Last thing I want you to know is there will be an audit one day. There will be an audit in the last day. There will be an audit of our life. Our life will be audited, and the auditor is the one who loves us most. And yet, it seems like we don't think that there's results for our actions. And God is going to audit what we did with all we have. Audit. We need to use every breath, every bit of our energy for him. I remember years ago, one of the most powerful moments I've ever seen in my life. This guy named Dick, he was dying. I knew this family for 20 years. His mother was the babysitter of my children. She was in her 80s. We didn't know she was going to be our babysitter, but she came over one day to the house and said, get out of my way. I'm watching your kids. It was basically like that. And another babysitter showed up one day and she threw him out. So Dick is now 80. She's now 99, I think. And he's dying. And there they are. He's dying in a hospital, and he's got his entire family surrounding him. And he looked every one of them in the eye, kids and in-laws alike, and said to them, Bill, you ready to go? You ready to be with Jesus? I got to know. He said to his daughter, Connie, are you ready to be with Jesus? And he went through the whole group. Are you ready? It was about the last thing he said in this life. Isn't that cool? What a great way to spend the last moment. But there will be a final audit of what we do with what we have. And that's not ours to audit. And so we should honestly give God all the glory with everything we have, with everything we are. Why don't we pray? Father, with every breath we have, with every moment we share, with whatever resources you bless us with, oh God, we want to give you glory. We know we've fallen short. We plead for your mercy. Help us to do things your way, God, because they work. And on top of that, they please you. Help us not to be nearly as worried about yesterday as we are concerned about doing things right today and tomorrow. Father, we'll share communion. May you bless that. And may you turn bread and juice into your powerful presence that we receive into our life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.